You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to Life on the Other Side of Should, a podcast of the Sheehive Women's Collective in Ferndale, Michigan. I'm your host, Ursula Adams.
And I'm your other host, Sonia Mastic.
And I'm your other side host, Jackie Smith.
And each week we gather to debunk the pretty bullshit women have been taught to believe about themselves.
And explore how women can thrive when they live life according to their own truth, or maybe rules.
So, hey!
Hey!
It's been 2 weeks since we've seen each other.
I know, it's a little ridiculous. We're very dorky and excited to see each other right now.
So excited to see each other. So, I'm going to jump right into it. It sounds like this week, from some of the pre-conversations, which, by the way, go to our YouTube channel and you'll be able to see some of the pre-conversation. We don't have a should this week, but we have a I got to get it off my chest.
Ooh.
And considering Sonia's chest is bigger than anybody else's in the
That's
room.
Right. Proud of people.
That okay. was so inappropriate.
Welcome to Boobville.
So you got something you got to get off your chest today.
All right.
I'm ready.
I
buckled in.
Yeah, you're going to have to strap in because I'm going to start swinging ska style. I'm going to like feet kicking. I'm throwing a mosh pit up in here. I am so tired of being mansplained to, especially today.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So today's mansplain is brought to you by a tool that owns a business in Ferndale. But so he's on a friend's page and the friend comments and her question is, would you guys recommend before or against doing the keto diet? And so everybody has their varying things of, mm-hmm. you know, hey, my sister's doing it. It's going really well. Aces.
Yeah.
This and that. And so I comment on it and I say, you know, it's a pretty extreme thing. There's a lot of research from Mayo and from Harvard Medical School and all these places that say, like, it's really just a fad.
Yeah.
If you do the parallels of what keto is next to Whole30 and so on and so forth, really, keto is if it's done the way that it's supposed to be executed, it's incredibly dangerous. And if it's done the way that it's packaged and sold, because it's just selling a diet,
yeah.
That it is common sense. It's just balance. It's like, mm-hmm. yeah, you reduce your carbs and try to intake a little more protein
yeah.
and try to stay away from processed foods. So I make this point. And I say, you know, really just try to balance your diet a little more and just sort of pay attention. So this guy chimes in mm-hmm. and says, my favorite part about the whole thing is he says, oh, no. And I say it's not sustainable. You because her plan was 20 grams of carbs a day.
So like a piece of bread?
No.
Not even.
39 grams usually in a piece of bread. So my thing is like that's just not even. And so I said, you know, you need carbs.
There's more carbs than like broccoli.
Right. And I said, you need carbs for your brain health and for mm-hmm. energy. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. if you're going to be doing any sort of exercise while you're doing this, you need carbs.
Yeah.
And so the guy responds, and it's my favorite response is, well, I do it for 4 to 6 weeks before my blood test. Like you're cheating on a blood test.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait.
Because that's what I really want to cheat on of all things.
Right.
Like, I don't want him to know I have diabetes, so how can I trick this
right.
system?
Right. I don't want to actually take medication for high blood pressure, you know, because I would like to stroke out.
Yeah.
So this is his reasoning.
Like to Dylan McKay.
Oh.
Okay.
But anyway. Yeah, but he just says, though, he explains to me why I'm wrong, and he explains to me keto. He explains it to me.
Motherfucker, did I not just explain to you what keto was?
Yeah, and I'm just, you know, and mine was very like, hey, you know, if it works for you, great, you know, but it really is a gimmicky fad. Real keto is, I have a friend that had cancer, and during cancer, some cancer tumors that respond to glucose, mm-hmm. they do have them do keto.
Yeah.
And they monitor them. You have to come in weekly for blood tests. I mean, you have to be monitored right. really, really closely.
Right.
And it shrinks the tumor.
Yeah.
I did Atkins, but I did a low carb for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long time.
Yeah, it's hard on the body.
Yeah.
It is. And I became really depressed. But so I'm looking at the keto stuff. I'm like, been there, done that. You know, the minute you're like, I'm done with this. And you're like, I need every Oreo in the city. And
doubles. The new big, huge one.
Oh, my God.
Totally my plans for after tonight's podcast.
Okay. All right. I guess I'm waiting for me, too. So, but I for 3 years. And I lost 60 pounds the first year, and they pretty much plateaued. And And then because I had moved to all of the Atkins and low carb foods, mm-hmm. which is the all the packaged stuff, which is just a death knell.
Yeah.
In so many reasons. So I was explaining this to somebody. I'm like, yeah, you know, I've done the low carb thing. Oh, this isn't low carb. This is, you know, added fat and this and that. And I go, yeah, that's exactly what I did. I mean, I may not have had fat bombs in my coffee, but
yeah.
I used the crap out of some
sticks of butter
heavy,
in your coffee is the way to go.
Heavy cream.
By the way, sticks of butter in my coffee sounds absolutely delicious. I've never tried it.
But as a diet plan.
But as a diet plan,
not so much.
It's a little wackadoodle.
And the thing is, the thing about the diabetics take tests to make sure they don't move into ketoacidosis.
Correct.
So basically keto and the low carb is you're forcing yourself into ketoacidosis, which is the burning all of that fat cells and stuff mm-hmm. like that, and it's burning it faster, mm-hmm. et cetera. Get it. I totally get it. I totally understand it. So that 60 pounds I lost within 6 months came back as 80.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it works. It's not sustainable.
But I it's not like I didn't go and eat a junk a thing of Oreos every day. I really was trying to be very mindful. I just could not maintain a low carb lifestyle because of it. It's like you become obsessed. I was so tired of being obsessed about food.
Well, I'm obsessed about food every fucking single day, moment of every single day. That's just really, you know, it's funny that we get on the topic of, I mean, not that we're really on the topic of diets, but we get on the topic of diets, having just spent 8 days down in Florida with my mother, who it's her obsession above all. Mm-hmm. She is always, as long as I have been alive, my mother has been on a diet. It is always her number one thing. Mm-hmm. And it's what she was taught from her own mother, mm-hmm. you know? And, you know, I'll call her and the first thing she'll say, I lost 0.8 pounds or I gained 0.6 pounds, wow. you know? And I'm like, fuck, just talk to me about anything else. And
yeah.
right.
This year was better, you know, we've been doing this vacation together for 32 years now. This year's been better than many years, but still it's a constant right there.
Right.
And we started talking just the day before I left because I still can't eat a ton because I had the weight loss surgery. My stomach is still smaller than a normal stomach, but I can still fill it up 50 times a day, which is exactly what I do.
I think you gave me the rest of your stomach.
Yeah, really. So I get full really, really quick. So I just eat a really small meal, but then I just, as soon as it empties, I eat again and again and again. But the fact of the matter is it has fucking nothing
to
do with food.
Yeah.
Because literally when I have weight loss surgery, they remove the hunger hormone from my body. My stomach hasn't growled in 5 years. Like, I don't know I'm hungry unless I have a headache.
Mm.
But it has nothing to do with that. And so I gained probably half the weight back after I started the She Hive because I was using food as a tool in a very inappropriate fucking way.
Soothing.
Yeah. Well, it is, man. Starting a business is scary as shit, man.
Yeah.
And food was a constant comfort, right? And, you know, I used it to stay awake because you have to work all the fucking mm-hmm. time. And then I used carbs to put me to sleep because you had to go to sleep some time, mm-hmm. you know?
Oh, yeah.
And then I used it to soothe me when there wasn't a paycheck coming in and I was spending all our money, right?
Oh, and my big awakening of these last 2 weeks of like, as I knew this, but there's I know it, I understand it. And then there's the day that you wake up to the reality mm-hmm. of it, right? Is that it's just different stuff that's been going on these last couple weeks for myself. Realizing that I use food as a companion. Like, mm-hmm. I knew that.
Yeah.
But because you know what everybody wants to do? You want to go for lunch? Lunch? Mm-hmm. Lunchies?
Yeah.
Breakies?
That's actually the first time you and I ever went out. We went and had lunch together.
Yeah. And we look how reasonable we were. We shared a salad.
Okay, because you guys are on a first date.
Yeah. We pretty much were. But hey, who else mansplained you today?
It kind of came from a lot of places, but also like a lawyer that I'm paying, by the way, that I'm working with. He's a really old guy. He's an old timer. And he mansplained me quite a bit until finally I was like, I'd already had enough of everyone's shit today.
Yeah.
And I was like, listen, buddy, bubbo, you know. And so, but it's just this thing of like, you know, going back to the guy that was on the thread.
Yeah.
Like, first off, fuck off.
Like, first off, fuck off.
Fuck off. I mean, no one, I wasn't asking for you to mansplain my, I was very gracious in my answer.
Was this on the Ferndale Forum?
No, it was on, no. It was on Facebook on,
okay.
on a private page.
Okay, okay.
And so, like, she wasn't asking for him to, for a rebuttal from him.
Yeah.
And excuse me. And on the other part of the thread, I put all of my, all the site sources, you know, Mayo Clinic and all these places that site source, why it's dangerous, the point of it. And my point of this is that he was making the point to be a know-it-all.
Yeah.
I was trying to be helpful to my friend.
Yeah.
And right. say, listen, I know you want to shred these couple pounds. I know you feel like it's carbs that are doing you in. Don't obsess over it.
Yeah.
Just eat a balanced diet. Keep an eye on your carbs. And then I sent her a private message and said, for your height and for your age and for what you want, try to keep your carbs within this kind of area, and it'll do really, it'll come off gradually. It'll stick. You'll feel great.
Right.
He wasn't trying to be helpful. He was just being a dick.
Right.
Yeah. Actually, that's a really good distinction. The mansplaining is, I'm not trying to be helpful. I'm trying to prove to you how much I fucking know.
Correct.
Yeah.
And how little you are.
Right.
Fuck. Like a guy that does keto 4 to 6, you know, weeks out of the year to trick his doctor into thinking that he's healthy and he's going to fucking drop dead of a heart attack.
Well, God, we can only hope so.
I got mansplained yesterday. Too about the divine feminine.
come on.
Well, is it really like I noticed that, you know, your clients are really just women. So is it that you just lucked upon that niche market, or are you really targeting them or whatever? And I'm like, how do I want to answer this? So I gave it a little moment. And I just went, I just said. So, since this is a feminine-driven blah, 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 and it was great because I just like, oh, I copied and pasted that and saved that in a file for later because that was a really good explanation. But he's like, oh, okay. I was just wondering because it's like I'm just punching you in the throat because come on. You know, he was trying to chastise me because I do a live video and he goes, I notice that you're very geared towards women. And I go,
Have you seen my boobs?
I am. And I mean, is it just that men don't do this? I'm like, because I do, I'm in the spiritual world. And I said, usually men are really not that interested. And, that's okay. And I am just going to, you know, I'm not explaining myself to you. It's really pretty much what I did.
Yeah.
But that's like, are you kidding me?
But that is another distinction, though, of mansplaining.
You are a conservative, church-going, Trump supporter. Why are you even asking me?
Why do you even care, really, at this point?
But that is mansplaining 101, though, is I'm going to actually also have opinion on things that are not relevant to me at all.
Yeah.
Like, right. I would never go to a man and be like, let me explain to you, man.
About your vagina.
No, to a guy, really, to say, like, let me explain to you the sensation you have in your body when you have an erection.
How would I ever know?
Right. So actually, that reminds me. I was reading. It must have been on HuffPost this morning that a dude. So you know, there's been a lot of work that's getting more and more public about the poverty of your period, right? Mm-hmm. And you know how expensive it is to actually manage this, and you know, and this guy got on and he's like, the average woman bleeds this much. And each tampon soaks up this much. So a woman should use only 7 to 9 tampons, 9 for the heavy hitters, he said, per cycle.
Per cycle,
right? As by his math estimate.
Wow, he's never heard of toxic shock, has he?
I know, right?
Right.
And I was just like, what the fuck? Why do you have to be so hateful?
And why have an opinion at all?
Exactly.
Shut your hole.
Right?
Right.
You know, like, what am I going to get one up if the government gives me a tampon? You know, like.
Right. It's pretty epidemic. And then, because I realized as we were talking about this, like, I don't get mansplained too. And I was thinking about like, oh, wait, hang on. Oh, there's that, and then that, and then that, and then that. And no wonder we get really defensive. And, you know, between women, we can have a conversation. We can laugh our butts off. And we can say, blah, 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 this. I'm like, oh, I really love that idea. And then you go into a room where there's even one man. They can be the minority. And the next thing you know, you step into this defensive stance.
Yeah.
And then they're like, why are you such a bitch? Why are you like, why are you talking in this aggressive way? Because there's a man.
Oh, did I not please you? I'm sorry.
I know. Well, I watch my girlfriends do this, and you know, I'll have a girlfriend explain something to me that's amazing. I'm like, that is the smartest thing I've ever heard. You're amazing. And then she gets into a room where there's a man, and the next thing you know, she's like this super aggressive thing where like I get defensive, mm-hmm. and I don't even want to hear it.
Yeah.
Because and so we talk about that. I'm like, so the thing is, you're changing. when you're here.
Well, yeah. So I've been doing a lot of reading and research on this topic lately of how women act when men are in the room. And it's of particular interest to me because as the she hive gets more well known, mm-hmm. men are starting to ask if they can come to certain things. And so I have been doing some research. I have our lawyer actually doing some research, a female, not mansplaining me at all, you know, that's doing some research on this. But the fact of the matter is when a man steps into the room, we have been conditioned and trained to step back. Mm-hmm. Right. Or act differently. And, yeah. You know,
God, a man.
Yeah, I know.
It's a man.
We need some place where we don't have to do that. So anyway, I know we only got a few minutes left of tonight. So I want to pull something from the should box. So, hey, we're actually on video tonight. So you can actually see the lovely should box with the poop emoji on the front. Ta-da! So who would like to do the honors this evening?
Jack
A. I'll pick one. I'll pick this one. It's right on top.
Just Jack A.
Just Jack A.
Oh, crap. I need to put my readers on.
I'm a woman of a certain age.
Hang on. I need to put my readers on.
They're really nice readers.
I should like coconut because it's healthy.
Ooh, that looks like my handwriting, too. I wonder if that's mine.
I should like kale because it's healthy. I
oh, yeah,
like
that's me.
Because it's healthy.
What do you got against the coconut?
All right. You want to know what I have against the coconut?
Yeah.
Is that I was born in the 70s and copper tone existed.
I so know, right?
Every time I eat coconut, I think of someone spraying suntan lotion into my mouth. I'm not joking.
I wish it's real. It's real.
When Bath and Body Works makes the suntan scented candle, I buy that shit like nobody's business.
I love the smell.
Okay.
It smells dynamite.
I just don't want to eat it.
I don't, it's a real serious thing where I really want to like it because it looks amazing. It looks like it should be delicious.
Yeah.
It is like the devil in my mouth. It is violently disgusting. It is.
The devil in my mouth.
I like it.
So what are the other foods that you think that you've been told you should like that you don't? I've got a whole plethora because kale.
Oh, kale is the devil's razors.
I actually like kale. That's probably the only healthy food
well,
I like.
Well, baby kale. I mean, I grew kale as decorative, like ground covering. People are like, you know, you could eat that. And so I like tried. This was a long time ago. You know that time when
you
I had
you
a-
you could eat your front
that,
yard.
Remember that summer where I had a garden and made my own bread? Yeah, that was a long time ago.
And one summer.
that summer.
You're like my husband. Remember the time when I used to jog? He jogged once. Yeah. He's like, back when I used to jog. I'm like, that one time. Ah.
I know, right. And then I broke out in hives. And I was like, and then eventually, like while the bread was rising, I went to the store and bought a loaf.
You're like, I'm allergic to kale.
And it's like... And somebody said, you should make that into something. And then kale smoothies and all that. So
kale's an intestinal razor blade is what that is.
Yeah. You're just going to be pooping for another.
Razor blade. You're going to be pooping razor blades.
Okay. I apparently love pooping razor blades. I actually do like kale. You know what I don't? I hate fish. I cannot stand
it's gross.
The smell or the taste of fish. And I know it's healthy for you and blah, 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 blah. My
it took
body,
me a while to like it. Yeah.
Really? I can't get to it.
But only certain.
I finally learned to like Brussels sprouts, preferably cooked with bacon.
Deep fried?
Yeah.
Hey, let's take this and hide it under all the unhealthy stuff.
When I was little, I hated Brussels sprouts when I was little. I shouldn't even say little. I was probably in high school at this time.
You're like last year?
Last year.
When I was little.
I think I was in middle school and my mom made Brussels sprouts. My father was one of those people, you did not leave the dinner table till you ate everything.
Oh, yeah. I had the same father.
Oh, man. And so I told him I had to go to the bathroom in the middle of dinner and they let me up to go to the bathroom. And so I went to the bathroom. My bedroom had a bathroom attached to it. So I went into there and on the way, I deposited the Brussels sprouts in my jewelry box.
Really?
Yes. And it was one of those jewelry boxes like, you know, they opened and the ballerina popped up and twirled around and she just had really smelly, just decomposing Brussels sprouts all around her. And she's like, dee, 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 dee.
Were any of you this person, or did you know somebody the person that would eat the pat of butter?
Oh, I love butter.
That's my sister.
Did you eat the pats?
No,
as a kid?
No. I no. But
she would take
I would
a spoon to the butter. She also ate mayonnaise.
Oh, I hate mayonnaise. That is so disgusting. Yeah. Except for on a burger.
That's rough, though. The whole thing of mayonnaise in your mouth, or a whole pat of butter.
Hey, oil pulling. No.
No.
We talked about that. That one of the other podcasts.
I tried oil pulling. That was bad news.
It was horrible.
It goes like a little like this.
You're doing the ASMR.
Yeah. ASMR of vomiting.
ASMR. So I'm going by the gals who are pulling the candles, and it goes a little every time you pull a candle up. It just a little boop. And I go, I love that sound. They go, I know, we're thinking about doing some ASMR audio files.
Totally.
And I'm like, I think you totally cool. should.
Yeah, you guys would kill.
Not should. Totally should. Oh, want
yeah.
to.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, you can make a lot of money. You'd clean great. Up. And the sounds of pouring the candles.
That would either make people relax or make people pee.
Pee, yeah. And then I said, the other one you got to get on video is the sound of a candle peeing, which is, you know, when the side of the candle gives yeah, and the little yeah. wax comes out. It's like.
Ooh.
And
you do that really well.
She's like, I've only heard one or a million.
Yeah. yeah. And so I have a saying that every time a candle pees, a witch gets her wish. They have a meme out there about that. Share that again.
Oh, man. So what else is on your mind? Do we want to pull another should? We got a few
Let's
minutes.
Do another should.
Let's do another should. Sonia, you want to do the honors this
the
time?
The coconut one was easy.
It was. By the way, I fucking hate coconut water.
Ugh.
Oh, yeah, that's so gross. There was this coconut juice thing I drank, but I realized it was like grapefruit juice.
Yeah.
Like a well, bunch of other stuff. I'm like,
I like
oh,
it if it's
oh.
juice and, you know, other stuff. So should.
Ooh, this one's challenging even to me. I should be responsible.
Oh, man.
For whom?
yeah. Doesn't say.
For what?
yeah, for whom, for what?
You know, I thought about that a lot this last, you know, so I was in Florida 8 days.
Being irresponsible.
Being, you know. But
getting tan.
yeah. Which was pretty amazing considering it was pretty cold the first 2 days we were there. But, like, I just had it in my mind that I was just going to be working remotely. That's why I was going to, you know, Florida. It wasn't going to be a big party or anything. It never is. I'm going with 70-year-olds, you know. And
oh my hip.
exactly. You know, and they have one drink and they're dancing in the video store aisles. And
that's me.
and so I really thought I was going to get a lot done. And I got some done, you know, but for the most part, I rested. And I was
it.
Like, and to me, it's kind of irresponsible, but at the same fucking time,
not at all.
It is the most responsible thing I have done for myself in a long time. I caught up on sleep. There was one day I literally slept the entire day.
That's amazing.
Like I, you know, went to the pool and I slept, and then I went inside and I slept, and then I went to the beach
oh,
and I
I'm
slept.
A little
and then,
jealous.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, I don't know. Everything got taken care of. Nothing was really not taken care of, but I wasn't, you know, hustling hard or you know.
On your second grind.
Yeah, exactly.
What I'm is a side hustle.
Grind? yeah. yeah. You know, do we always fucking have to be responsible?
No.
Yeah.
No. And I think that especially for myself and the dynamic of my relationship with men and women,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, the responsibility factor comes into the thing of like how roles have been laid out. And I'm working through it. I've been married for a long time. So we're working through it ourselves of yeah. like, mm-hmm. oh, you don't clean the way that I want. So I'll take that as my responsibility.
Yeah.
And it's like, nope, I don't care how you clean. Like, it's, you know, sort of, it comes in the thing of like responsibility that way in a household too.
Yeah.
And I don't think you should, like, you have to let shit go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to let responsibilities go. And you have to be okay with however the other person handles those responsibilities, whether it's a spouse, an employee, a coworker, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, so true, so true. And it's so funny because I have trained my husband in our marriage that I am the responsible one,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, you know, something.
That's exactly what I meant. Yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. yep. And I was thinking right before I left for vacation, so he doesn't go on this vacation. This is girls' week, you know, and his license, we usually go around his birthday, sometimes on his birthday because I'm awful. But his license is coming up for renewal. And he's like, when you get back, we got to, you know, you got to do this for me. And I'm like, well, why the fuck do I have to do this?
Right.
Like, I mean, you figure out how to do shit. Like, he figured out all the porn on the
yeah.
computer.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like, just fine.
yeah. Figures out how to get to work and get home and put on pants.
That's right.
And make know, a sandwich.
You
and,
know,
yeah.
he figures out how to buy shit online yeah. if he needs to buy it. You know, like,
right.
you know, he's figured all that shit out. I'm like, I bet you could probably fucking figure this out, too.
A little tip for you, Brian. You're not married to your mom. Get your own license.
Holy shit. His brother didn't know you had to renew the tabs because his mom had always done them from them, done it for him.
I think
he was like 30 before he realized he had to renew them every year.
There's not enough alcohol in this room right now for this conversation.
You know, I realize I'm uber responsible for other people and
yeah.
their emotions and feelings. Like if you're having a if I'm having a conversation with somebody and they're telling me an opinion different than mine, I tend to diminish my own.
Yeah.
Which is a normal female thing. And so as I was talking to my therapist today about that whole process, I'm like, so I'm reading these books on leadership and talks about compassion, all this other stuff. I'm like, fuck compassion. I got no problems with compassion. She goes, you don't. So it's like, I have no problems with responsibility. I'm uber responsible. And so it's like, I mean, to me, that's like, I'm already responsible. And you're now just landing, how often is other people trying to land their needs of responsibility, like, on you?
Yeah.
I don't want to do this. So you do it because you should be responsible, and the manipulation that goes along with that.
Speaking of responsible, I think that our producer probably got drunk and has not come back because we have hit our time limit.
Let's just keep rolling.
Let's just keep rolling. We'll just do the next show.
Because we can edit right here.
Okay.
No problem.
Well, yeah. Okay. Well, I think that that's actually enough for this week, and we might want to go find our drunk producer or not. I don't know. And, speaking of, there she is. I'm like, we're talking about responsibility. I'm like, speaking of responsibility, I think our producer just got drunk and didn't come back.
You went home. You're like, fuck this place.
Well, and, you know,
I'm still listening.
Oh, ladies, thank you so much. As always, it is so much fun spending time with you.
Agreed. And favorite part of my 2 weeks.
Not just fun. Like, it's really informative, and you make me feel better about myself.
Hold me.
Spoon me.
Spoon me.
Is there a song? I mean, we need to make one.
No, I'm sure there is.
I'm going to look that shit up on Google. Okay, till next time.